Greetings in Jesus' name this evening, this afternoon. Feels like evening. Studying for this topic has been a long, hard study, and it feels like I have nothing left to say. I literally feel like all the answers have been given through the topics that have been shared. I have been richly blessed to be here, to come this far from the east, to sit in with brethren who have a burden for the school is touching to my heart. I'm not on the school board right now. We have served many years on the school board, and there has been a lot of joys and a lot of hard times, but that's life. That's school board work. We greet you in Jesus' name. Resolving staff crises. I'm going to share a story. I don't have all the details straight. It's been so long that I read the story, but it fits our topic. Years ago, there was a ship that was sailing across, I believe it was the South Seas. One of the crew members noticed that the ship's clock was out of sync with time. The crew member made contact with another crew member and said, "I want to adjust that time." The clock hung out the side of the ship. The crew member told the other crew member to be careful and to make sure you have someone there in case something goes wrong. Like we men do, we say, if I'm careful, real careful, it will work out okay. I'm going to try it. Just real careful. The crew member that he talked to disappeared, and he did that very thing. It was a quiet, calm evening. There was glassy seas. There was no wind. The sun was just setting in the west. It was almost dark. It was the sun was down, and it was beautiful sunset. This man decides he's going to reach out and he's going to adjust that clock. And he said, if I'm careful, it will be okay. Everything is in its right perspective. He steps up on the side of the ship. He reaches out to adjust the clock. And the ship shudders just enough for him to lose his balance. And he drops into the sea. Alone. And it said in that story that the ship disappeared, and at first he started treading water, and his thoughts were just in a ramble. What am I going to do? He tried to yell. It didn't help anything. No one will hear. The ship disappeared. Gone. That man treaded water all night. And he was, in his mind, he was thinking, when are they going to notice? When are they going to see that I'm missing? The crew went to bed. They slept all night. In the morning, they took roll call, and they noticed he was missing. The crew and the captain had a discussion, and they said, is it worth it going back to try to find him? The captain said, how are we going to find him? It's a needle in a haystack. But the crew decided with determination to convince him, let's at least give it a try. He turned the ship around and he charted the course back where they thought, through calculations, where he had landed from the time he spoke with the other crew member, because they made the connection of the discussion they had had. They figured out the longitude and latitude, and he found exactly where he should be. It was a bit of a guess game. But with the technology they had, they could chart the course right back where they came from. And this man was treading water. And it came the morning, and he was wondering, how long will this be? And about the time that he giving up hope, he sees a ship coming. And the ship came into view, and he realized it was his ship. At that point, the ship turned. The man was in despair. But he didn't realize what they were doing. They were going to chart a course around the area where they thought he might be. So when they started going the other direction, the man in despair made a desperate splash in the water with the feeble strength he had, and they didn't see him. That ship made a course to the backside of this, the halfway through the circle. And again, he saw a man in the crow's nest, and he splashed desperately. And the man in the crow nest hollered down to the captain, "Man overboard is found." They turned towards him and picked him out of the sea. I do not remember the time frame that elapsed in there. It was a long swim. Enough of that story. Do you see the picture of a crisis in your teachers? Do you see your teachers in desperation, trying to find an answer, reaching out over the side of the ship, as it were, to make an adjustment? Do you see in that adjustment that the ship of school shuddered? And can you see the teacher falling in despair? We'll leave that where it is. Our staff has crises. A crisis is a point of life where something must change or there will be catastrophe. That's a crisis. We have surgeries, our doctors do. Heart surgeries, for instance. Unless something is corrected, he will die. That's a crisis. Yes, brethren, our school teachers face crises. And if something won't change, they will die. And you are the ship of refuge. Maybe that's too strong. God is the ship of refuge. You are the one to bring him there. Our teachers face crises. The success of a Christian school, this is, comes from relationships that bless. The success of a Christian school is not the result of wise planning and management. Sorry, lost my spot. Here it is. It is a work of God, and we must see it as such. We must do our part and continually apply intelligence to the work, but since we see it as God's work, we wait on him for wisdom and direction, which he is longing to impart to us if we ask him. The school is God's work. So our answers to resolve crises will need to come from God's word. There is no equation that fits every situation, and we made that, heard that comment before in these meetings. Let's take a look a little bit at what may cause a crisis. And there are a lot of crises, and there's no way I can talk about all of them. We're not going to talk about many. But we have crises of school teachers with the patrons. We have crises with school teachers relating to school boards. We have crises with school teachers relating to their students. We have crises where we have teachers relating to teachers. We have medical crises. We have crises where social workers are coming into our private schools. These are crises that our teachers face at times. As school boards, we always would like to have the best teachers. That's what we want. We want the best teachers. But you don't get best teachers without giving them a start. And that means some problems, some failures, some troubles. That's what we will get. We are hiring human beings, and we hire them from Nova Scotia. We hire them from BC. We hire them from Alberta, Northern Alberta, Lacrete, and all the way down in south, wherever the continent ends down there. I don't know my geography enough. Every area of our continent has their own culture. Now, if you've always been here, you may not understand that. I didn't either till we moved to New Brunswick. We moved to New Brunswick. This is a little bunny trail. And we found out there that the people are laid back. Over there, my boss said, slow down. Over here, my boss said, hurry up. That's a culture difference. Every area you hire a teacher from comes with their own mindset as to how you should teach. How they were taught is how they think it should be done. These things create conflict, can create conflict. It is our desire as school boards to be able to resolve these conflicts. How do we do it? My time's running out. I thought I was going to have enough material. Number one. I'm not going to look at situations that have happened. We're simply going to take God's word and find some answers to resolve conflict. Number one, we need to ask of God. And Brother Vernon brought out a number of these points already. I was going to use James 1 verse 5. He already read that verse. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We have no answer of ourselves to resolve these crises. We may have experience, but neither do we know all the background information of those teachers and the struggles they're facing. We need to ask God for wisdom. That's what he says. Ask of God, and he will give it to you. Prayer, number two. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 17, very short verse, pray without ceasing. If you're going to resolve the crises of your staff, you are going to need to pray. And it is through prayer that many a problem is answered, through prayer. I am blessed. School board chairmen, years ago, we had a real struggle in school. And I remember the brother who was chairman at that time, in the middle of a heated discussion, he just stopped. He said, brethren, let's pray. We prayed, not silently, audible prayer. And then we resumed our discussion. The comfort, the strength, the fortitude you have in prayer to find answers to resolve the problems. If we use our own strength, it'll be catastrophe. It will not work. Number three. Number three and four I have relation to the interpersonal relationships of the teachers, the struggles they face. I will share this. I asked my mom what she would say is the answer to resolving staff crises. And this is her answer. It's a little humorous, but take it with a grain of salt. Never hire girl teachers. She wouldn't want me to say that, but I think it's okay. And that's no slam on our sister teachers. God's wired us differently. Brethren are wired different than the sisters. But number three is respect. We need to help our teachers respect each other. Many a crisis and clash comes when I am better than you. Respect. In 1 Corinthians 12:23, we don't have time to read it. It talks about bestowing more abundant honor on the one who we think is weak. Doesn't that speak of looking more highly on the one we think doesn't fit here? Is my opinion Is my opinion better than yours? No, not necessarily. Philippians 2:3 says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let's help our teachers respect each other. And in order to do that, we as school boards need to respect our teachers. We need to respect the one that is a little difficult to help. We need to respect them. Number two is love. We need to help our teachers love. Love the student they're having trouble with. We need to, as school boards, love the student they're struggling with. We as school boards need to love the teacher when they don't quite carry out what we told them to. If you had only done this, the problem would be fixed. Maybe it would have. But that's not what happened. Love. 1 Corinthians 13, I was going to read the whole passage. We're not going to have time for that. But take time to read it. Do I love the offended? Do I love the offender? As school board members, we stand in a crucial point in helping in that scene. Number 5, meet the struggling staff on their level. There are times in the past in our school board experience where the teacher was afraid to talk to the school board. Is that wrong? Brethren, we need to be brethren who will meet the teacher on their level. How do we do that? Do we have to sit down on a chair beside them? Is that meeting them on their level? Remember, that teacher is in a crisis, and they need help. They cannot help themselves. And they need someone to open up to. They need someone to share. And they're going to share it from their perspective. Meet them on their level. How do we do this? I believe one way is to identify with them. Identify with them in their struggle. We may not understand everything, but maybe there's something in the past that we have experienced that is very similar, and we can say, sister, brother, I understand in part what you're saying. When we come across, say, oh, there's nothing to it. Let it roll off your back. Just go on with life. Straighten up. The door's closed. You'll get nowhere. We need to meet them on their level. Remember, that teacher may not feel able to reach out because he's afraid of your response. Maybe you haven't made the connection before. There was one scene in a school where the upper grade teacher was hired for the first year. The lower grade teacher had already taught for 2 years and was given the seniority. The older grade teacher wanted the seniority. Can you imagine the fight that made? That struggle went on for a few years. Brethren, there's no need for that. We must help our teachers to give up self, to be willing to take the lower position. School isn't about position. School is about service. And these teachers come at a young age, and they're young youth. We need to teach them the principles of God. We come with the mentality that they already know. We've hired these teachers. They're older. We call them older youth. They're old enough to be in the classroom. They should be mature enough to teach. That's right. But which of us got to where we are today without the struggles of life? Those struggles make us what we are, don't they? One more thing I'm going to share is that when you have relationship issues that you need to work through, you must be unbiased. It will never work otherwise. When you have one board member siding with this teacher, one board member siding with this teacher, you will not find a medium. But in order to find the medium, you will need to listen to this teacher's story. You will need to listen to this teacher's story. The saying goes, there's three sides to every story. I don't know if that's new to you. There's his side, there's his side, and then there's the right side. Do you get the picture? Not everyone sees everything right all the time. To resolve those crisis moments, those crises, we need to understand our teachers and then step back and pray. Ask God to help us evaluate this rightly. Number six, we need to acknowledge that there is a crisis. My time is up. You're hungry. Acknowledge that there is a crisis. And I was going to turn to the passage of the Good Samaritan. We have the priest walking by the one side. We have the Levite coming by and walking by. They look at him and say, make do. You can get better somehow or whatever. Is that your attitude for problems in school? I don't think it is. But we have that potential. And that is a problem. We need to have the compassion of the Good Samaritan. We see that teacher. He is in trouble. He's bleeding. He's hurting. And we need to reach out to him and then find the answers. Should the staff always share with the chairman? There's value if he does, the chairman or the principal. But not all humans can connect like they can with others. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We had an issue years ago, Brother Ivan Weber. Most of you know him probably, the deacon at Corinth. He passed away. He was the deacon there when I was a member there. And I remember him sitting in a school board meeting, and we ran across this very issue. The chairman and the principal were working through an issue, and the teacher was sharing with another school board member instead of the chairman or principal. And it came up at the board meeting. I remember Brother Ivan saying, he said, it doesn't matter who he shares with, as long as it gets conveyed back to the school board. How can we make decisions if we don't know? But let's not be so proud that you have to talk to me and not to him. That makes problems. Let's be open. Let's hear our brethren. Let's hear the words that are coming. And then let's make our decisions. And then number seven I have is be there. When there is a crisis, and this teacher was speaking, I asked this from a teacher. She was speaking specifically to the crisis they had at the Colton school when the social worker stepped in. She said, of all things, school board members, be there for us. Be there when they come. And I think we can understand that. Be there. One note yet I'm going to make in regards to school boards resolving staff crises. And that is, I don't know how to say this. I hope you understand, sisters. I don't know what you spoke of in your class. But you are not the school board. Wives have a very important part of standing beside your husband, being there in the class when the teachers need to talk to the school boards. Your wise advice is good at home, but don't try to sway the school board's decision. God gave that responsibility to the brethren. It has happened, and I've seen it, and it's disaster when the sisters try to run the school, and it doesn't work. May God help us. God bless you in your role. May you take it as God has given. I have one word of... Sorry, I have to close. One more statement I have. I don't know where this comes from. I read it in a book, and I give this as a word of thought, a thought-provoking word. As we think of us as school boards and resolving crises, we are producing boys and girls for the kingdom. That's our desire. But depends what we do with the crises in our staff. Makes a difference what the students are going to think about us, about God, and about authority. And we must be careful that we are not just focusing on academics. And this statement is this: is your school producing better business leaders than disciples.